الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, we were discussing in the عقيدة الوسطية last week. Today is the 30th of ربيع الأول 1432 هجري, which corresponds to the 5th of March 2011. last week we dealt with the manner in which the believer is brought to account, or in other words, the accountability of the believer. Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says, "Rahimahullah, كما وصف ذلك في الكتاب والسنة, as it has been described, عليكم السلام, as it has been described in the Quran, in the book, and the Sunnah. ذلك المشار إليه الحساب. The demonstrative pronoun ذلك here is in reference to accountability. يعني كما وصف الحساب في الكتاب والسنة, meaning as accountability has been described in the kitab, the book of Allah, and the sunnah. لأن هذا من الأمور الغيبية المتوقفة على الخبر المحض, because this is from the unseen, which cannot be learned except through information conveyed by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's strictly textual evidence. There's no other way for you to find out what the events will be like on the day of recompense, the nature of the events. No way you can find out about the future unless it is taught by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he gets it from Allah. فوجب الرجوع فيه إلى ما وصف في الكتاب والسنة. So it is compulsory then that you refer this matter back to the Quran and the Sunnah. Now, قوله, the statement of Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, وأما الكفار, as for the disbelievers, فلا يحاسبون محاسبة أو محاسبة من توزن حسناته وسيئاته. The kuffar will not be brought to account, عليكم السلام, like the one whose good deeds and bad deeds will be weighed. They will not be accounted for the way those whose good deeds and bad deeds will be weighed. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا حَسَنَاتَ لَهُمْ. They have no good deeds. The kuffar have no good deeds. وَلَكِنْ تُعَدُّ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فَتُحْصَى فَيُوقَفُونَ عَلَيْهَا وَيُقَرَّرُونَ بِهَا وَيُخْزَوْنَ بِهَا. Rather, their deeds will be enumerated for them, then they will be stopped and made to admit. There will be an element of reproach. Alaykum salam. There will be an element of reproach. Then they will be humiliated and disgraced because of it. This is what will happen to their bad deeds. Question. In da'wah, you often face this question by the kuffar who say to you, you're saying that Mother Teresa is going to hell, and they will Gandhi or some, they will name some other people whom they consider to be, yeah, any good people who have done a lot of, you know, a lot of good to the world and to the people and all blah blah blah, all that nonsense. And so, how do you address this issue? How do you stand before a bunch of kuffar and tell them, yes, Mother Teresa was worth, you know, a pair of shoes, as far as Islam is concerned, and so was Gandhi. Now, you may not want to use these words, of course. I'm just telling you how, you know, our position concerning them. But you know, you use better words. How do you say this with confidence and with a justifying explanation, so that the people, not, you know, the people will understand why we hold this stance? Yes? How do you give them a convincing answer? Because to them, I mean, Mother Teresa spent her whole life looking after, you know, the health, the needy and the poor people, and she dedicated her life for all this, you know, charitable work and what have you. And we're saying that this is all worth nothing. How do you explain this? What's your evidence? Why is it logical? Because to them at that point it's illogical. Unless you give them an explanation which makes it logical, that they can agree to. Can you stop looking at me and give me an answer, please?
Because she did they didn't do one fundamental thing, that is believe in Allah.
Good.
If you don't believe in Allah,
they wanted only the worldly things. They did only worldly things. So they got appreciation in the world.
No, but they will tell you she's not doing this for the world. She was doing it for in the name of Christianity, in the name of Jesus Christ.
She's Christian.
Why?
Christian. She believes in
Allah.
God. Christian God.
Well, they are gods.
Yes. Believe in Allah and His Messenger. If you don't believe in them, i.e. you go to hellfire.
Fine. Yeah. But now, that's fine. But still, we want to give him some you know, logical breakdown, something worldly they can relate to. Okay, I'll just to summarize it. We can tackle this from multiple angles. Angle number one, we say to them, look, imagine if a person, a director in some company, hired someone. In fact, he hired an IT. Because the company was at such a stage that if they don't hire a professional, experienced IT to develop some software for them, they will go out of business. So they invested all of the money which they have for that year, the profit of that year, into hiring an IT from Germany. Some you know, guy that is just way too much. Or maybe nowadays from there, they're from India. Whatever. This, you know, outstanding IT. And they say, listen, this whole business is at stake unless you come up with the software which will enable us to blah blah blah. And they agree, they sign a contract, he gets his fancy, you know, house and his fat salary and all the good stuff. And they make everything available for him, the nicest computers, the nicest, you know, whatever, you know, machines. And while he's sitting in the office, he looks at the wall and says, man, this doesn't look good. Huh? This color doesn't match the office and the furniture. And so he goes down the street, he goes, you know, far to a paint store, and he buys a brush, he buys the paint, he buys, you know, the apron, and he comes back, you know, to work. And he puts on his stuff and he starts painting the wall. And all the employees are having a blast. This is amazing. Wow, this guy is an artist, man. Look at this color coordination. Everybody's happy with him. All the employees think it's lovely. Who comes in? The boss. Say, what are you doing, man? Say, well, I thought, you know, this, this and that, and I really don't think the colors match. And say, listen, my friend, we hired you to do some IT work. If we needed a painter, we could have hired one for 50 riyals from down the street and he would have painted this thing. We brought you all the way from whatever country. So you can come over here, you know, you're fired. Okay? Give us back our money and you know, and he will be in big trouble. Say, does that make sense to you? Is that a wise employee? Is that a good employee? Is that someone that deserves a reward, deserves a salary, deserves to be promoted? They will say, no, 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 he's an idiot. Say, so was Mother Teresa. Allah created her and everyone else to worship him. But they were too busy doing things that people liked. Like the other employees, they thought the paint was great, wonderful. But who are you supposed to be pleasing? Not the people, Allah. And you failed in fulfilling the most fundamental objective of life. And not only that, in fact, not only you didn't worship Allah alone, no, but you associated partners with Him and you called the people to it. You are as evil as a creature can be. And so your good deeds are good deeds for the people, not in the sight of Allah. Why? Then you give another example. You can't install a window if you haven't built the house. Faith in Allah and His messengers is the foundation, is your structure, is your home. After you have it, you can put windows, you can put fans, you can put doors. Without it, you put a door, it's gonna fall. You put a window, it's gonna fall. Anyone who doesn't build this foundation of belief in Allah and His messengers, any deeds which they try to attach on air, they will simply drop to the ground. Why? They lack the foundation. Fair enough? So when you bring it to them from this angle, now they will say, now I see it. They may agree, disagree, but they can't refute you. And they can't argue with you, because that's a logical argument. So that they may discuss with you whether this is a sound approach, that really believing in Allah and His Messenger is that important, then you can give them da'wah to Islam. But from a logical perspective, this is very sound, very rational thinking, that you were hired for something, you're not doing it, you don't deserve a reward. You were created for worship, you don't do it, you don't deserve a reward. In fact, you deserve a punishment. Fair enough? So here, we're saying to these people, the kuffar, as Shaykh al-Islam said, فَلَا حَسَنَاتَ لَهُمْ. They have no good deeds. SubhanAllah, they may give charity, they may do a lot of work, they will have no good deeds. هكذا جاء معناه في حديث ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم حينما ذكر حساب الله تعالى لعبده المؤمن. How did we come about, or how did we bring about this understanding? We said that this is strictly based on textual evidence. We do not know who will be, whose deeds will benefit and who won't, unless we go back to the Quran and the Sunnah. So the hadith of Ibn Umar, why does it say radiyallahu anhuma and not radiyallahu anhu? Why radiyallahu anhuma? Sometimes radiyallahu anha. Sometimes radiyallahu anhu. Sometimes radiyallahu anhum. Sometimes radiyallahu anhuma. Why would we say radiyallahu anhuma?
Ibn and then Umar.
Whenever the father and the son were both sahabis, even though we're quoting Ibn Umar, we will say radiyallahu anhuma, meaning Ibn Umar and Umar. That's for the duo. The alif, the ma, kilahuma, anything with alif noon is for the duo. Now we don't have it in English, there's either singular or plural. But in Arabic we have muthanna. The duo. And you will find it, Jannatan, two gardens. Right? Ila akhiri. The Quran is full of muthanna, in fact. Tayyib. Now this is how it came in the hadith of Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he mentioned the accountability when Allah Azza wa Jal brings to account the believing slave. وَأَنَّهُ يَخْلُو بِهِ, that Allah Azza wa Jal will put him in a secluded place. وَيُقَرِّرُهُ بِذُنُوبِهِ, then Allah Azza wa Jal will make him admit his mistakes. And then, as we said in the hadith last time, Allah Azza wa Jal say, I have concealed your faults in the dunya and today I will forgive you. As for the kuffar, قال وَأَمَّا الْكُفَّارُ وَالْمُنَافِقُونَ فَيُنَادَى بِهِمْ عَلَى رُؤُوسِ الْخَلَائِقِ. As for the kuffar and the hypocrites, they would be called out before everyone. رؤوس الخلائق, meaning on the heads of the creation, meaning in the presence of everyone. It would be a public event. هَؤُلَاءَ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى رَبِّهِمْ أَلَى لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. It would be said after they are presented before the rest of the people, it would be said, it is those who have belied their Lord, so may the curse of Allah be upon the wrongdoers. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. في صحيح مسلم وفي صحيح مسلم. Now in صحيح مسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, from the hadith of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, في حديث طويل, in a long narrative, a long narration from the Prophet ﷺ, قال, he said, فَيَلْقَ الْعَبْدُ أَيْ يَلْقَ اللَّهُ الْعَبْدُ, meaning then Allah will meet the slave, يعني المنافق, the hypocrite, the hypocrite, فَيَقُولُ يَا فِلْ أَوْ يَا فُلْ أَيْ يَا فُلَان, such and such person, أَلَمْ أُكْرِمُكَ وَأُسَوِّدُكَ وَأُزَوِّجُكَ وأسخر لك الخيل والإبل وأذرك ترأس وتربع. He will say, oh fulan, did I not honor you? Did I not make you prosper? Did I not get you married? Waalaikum salam. Did I not get you married? Did I not make submissive to you the cows? The horses and the camel, meaning they were under your care and under your command. Did I not make you a leader? Did I not make you followed? People obeyed you? فَيَقُولُ بَلَى. He will say, yes. قَالَ فيقول أظننت أنك ملاقي. The Allah says, did you think you were going to meet me? فيقول فإني فيقول فإني أنساك كما نسيتني. فإني أنساك كما نسيتني. Then Allah will say to him, I will forget you as you forgot me. Because he wasn't preparing for meeting Allah. فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى. All these are in reference to meeting Allah عز وجل, preparation for that day. So Allah will say, I will forget you as you forgot me. Now, not the forgetfulness that when you forget something, it's the forgetfulness of not caring for someone and not, you know, taking them into consideration, not being concerned about them in any way, shape or form. Just forget him, in this sense. You know, they say it in English, just forget it, man. Yeah, it doesn't mean that you will forget, it just means ignore. So he will be ignored. لا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم. طيب. ثم يلقى الثاني فيسأله فيجيب كما أجاب الأول. Then Allah will bring the second one, and he will ask him as he asked the first, and he will answer him as the first one answered him. فيقول الله فإني أنساك كما نسيتني. Allah again will say to him, I will forget you as you forgot me. ثم يلقى الثالث فيقول له مثل ذلك. Then excuse me. Then the third one will say the same thing, and Allah will say to him the same thing. No, this is the third one. I'm sorry. He will say, Ya Rab, آمنت بك. I believed in you. وبكتابك. In your book. وبرسلك. In your messengers. وصليت. And I prayed. وصمت. And I fasted. وتصدقت. And I paid charity. ويثني بخير ما استطاع. And he will mention all the goods, all the good things he did, which he will be able to mention. فيقول ها هنا إذن. Allah will say then, stay where you are. ثم يقال له الآن نبعث شاهدنا عليك. Then I'll say, now we will bring our witness against you. ويفكر في نفسه من ذا الذي يشهد عليه. And he will be thinking to himself, who will bear witness against me? Who is it that will bear witness against me? فيختم على فيه. Then his mouth will be sealed. ويقال لفخذه ولحمه وعظامه أنطقي. Then it will be said to his thigh, his flesh and his bones, speak. فتنطق بعمله. So then his own body parts will speak against him. His flesh, his bones and his thigh. وذلك ليعذر من نفسه وذلك المنافق الذي وذلك الذي يسخط الله عليه. And he will say this, and this in order for him to have يعني the evidence established against him. This is the hypocrite, and this is the one whose Allah's wrath will be upon. Pay attention now. He said he believed in the Quran, he believed in the messengers, he was fasting, giving sadaqah, you know, some of them even went out for jihad, but they were hypocrites. They were not true Muslims inside. And this will be their result on the day of resurrection. We ask Allah to make us among the true sincere believers. Tanbih. Note. في قول المؤلف رحمه الله محاسبة من توزن حسناته وسيئاته إلى آخره. In the statement of Sheikh Islam رحمه الله, that the accountability, يعني the kafir will not be held to account like the one whose good deeds and bad deeds will be weighed, which is the believer. إلى آخره, etc. إشارة إلى أن المراد بالمحاسبة المنفية عنهم هي محاسبة الموازنة بين الحسنات والسيئات. What we're trying to negate here is that they will not be held to account, as in their good deeds and bad deeds will be weighed on the scales like the believer. The believer, there will be good deeds and bad deeds. Whichever one outweighs the other, he will go to Jannah or Jahannam. What we're saying is not going to happen to the kuffar, is that there will not be a balance, there will not be a scale, and there will not be this kind of weighing, because they have no good deeds. It's all bad deeds. Shirk and whatever is below that. However, وَأَمَّا مُحَسَبَةِ التَّقْرِيرِ وَالتَّقْرِيعِ فثابتة كما يدل على ذلك حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. As for the accountability where they will be reprimanded and reproached, then this is inevitable. This has been confirmed according to the hadith of Abu Hurairah, which we just quoted. So they will be reminded of their sins and shortcomings, but they will be destroyed. That's the kind of accountability they will be having. Not like that of the believers, where good deeds are versus bad deeds. Is that clear? Beautiful. Fa'idah, benefit. أول ما يحاسب عليه فائدة. By the way, from the wickedness of the, you know, the people today, is in the banks. In the banks, riba is called فائدة. They call them فوائد, فوائد بنكية. Specifically, perhaps I don't know about here, but at least in the Middle East, where you know this is prevalent. Yeah, they call them fawaid, and this is from the way they deceive the people. Riba, which is something which will bring about Allah's war and His Messenger against someone, has suddenly become a benefit. Faida, huh? And wallahi, there's no faida in it whatsoever. But this is how today they trick the people. They bring a song, you know, with a feminine guy singing it, and they have some you know, vocals in the background, which they say is not music. Then they call it Islamic nasheed. And when you say that this is haram, they say you're saying nasheed is haram. The Sahaba were, you know, doing nasheed. So the Sahaba were doing nasheed. The Sahaba were doing nasheed like this today. They would go on a stage touring the world, and you know, four of them in the background go and one on the microphone, you know, singing to the ladies. And then they would put out albums. This is what the Sahaba were doing. You have the nerve to say the Sahaba were doing nasheed? They were reciting poetry. And anytime you may come across some poetic verses, you may recite them in a manner which sounds attractive. No problem. Ya sila, not my voice. My voice is horrible. But just to, Ya sila'ata rahmani, lasti raqisatan, bal anti ghaliyatun ala al-kaslani. Something along these lines. Poetry, it rhymes, there's a rhythm in it. Beautiful. If you wish to do it sometimes while you're driving on the road, and you've heard enough Quran, or mashallah, you've recited enough Quran, and you wish to change your mood, yeah, go ahead. But Sami Yusuf and Bakhtarish or Bakhtir or Bakhatir, whatever that guy name is, and Junaid, I don't know what, and all these clowns, no Habibi. These are not from Islam. This is not from Islam. Even they call it Islamic Nasheed 20 times, it remains singing. Professional singing, just like the Christina Aguilera and her friends. There's no difference between them, except that these one called it Islamic Nasheed, and the other one, they don't call it Islamic Nasheed. They just don't care about what the people call it. And so, today, people change the names. So they make it halal. And those who don't know any better, they believe it. But when you know, you will not fall for their trap. You will realize that this is haram in the deen of Allah because of the evidences. Call it what you call it. Faida means benefit. And what you get in the bank?
The loan
they call tasheela. The loan they call tasheela. The zakallah khair. Facilitation. The riba loan, it becomes, you know, facilitation. Which is really facilitation to Jahannam. Hey. Faida, a benefit. Zakallah khair. That was a good one. أول ما يحاسب عليه العبد من الأعمال الصلاة. A benefit. The first thing which the slave will be accountable for on the day of resurrection, obviously, is the salah. Is the what? The salah. وأول ما يقضي فيه أو بين الناس الدماء. المفروض it should be أول ما يقضى فيه بين الناس الدماء. And the first thing which will be, you have it يقضى. Do you have it with ألف مكسورة or ياء?
No, it should be يقضى.
Yours is with ya also, huh?
Yeah,
I believe it should be with the Alif Maqsura. The first thing which will be dealt with or ruled on the day of resurrection will be blood.
Alif Maqsura.
Huh? Alif Maqsura? Okay, I have it with ya. So then I figured there's an error here. So like I had a feeling, alhamdulillah. Anyways, the blood. What is intended by blood? Killing. Meaning all those who were killed wrongfully, the first thing that will be judged on the day of resurrection, all those who killed each other, and the rights of the killed will be taken from the killer. That's the first thing. But in terms of personal accountability, the first thing would be salah. Between the people, because salah is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But between the people, the first thing will be the blood. لِأَنَّ الصَّلَاةِ أَفْضَلْ عِبَادَاتِ الْبَدَنِيَةِ. Because salah is the best, best of the physical acts of worship, meaning the ones that you physically get involved in, because there are some that are in the heart. وَالدِّمَاءُ أَعْظَمْ مَا يُتَعَدَّ بِهِ حُقُوقُ الْآدَمِيِّينَ. And blood is the greatest violation against the rights of the children of Adam, killing people wrongfully. And this is what, you know, these demonstrations and protests are actually doing to the people. They're getting Muslims killed. Exception to the rule is Libya, because the ruler of Libya is not a Muslim. Muammar al-Qaddafi is a kafir, because he rejects the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He doesn't believe in it. He's one of these Qur'anis, and he has a book called the Green Book, which he tried to, you know, use to match. He's a wild creature. He's a wild creature, and the kuffar, of course, the ulama have declared kufr on him, so I'm conveying their declaration. Not that I am in a position to do it myself. But Sheikh Al-Haydan, Hafizahullah Ta'ala, had declared kufr on him. Right? Don't take it from Yusuf Al-Qaradawi. This is not someone that we learn Islam from. So this ruling came from Sheikh Al-Haydan, which is one of the ulama of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in terms of Aqidah and Manhaj. Hafizahullah Ta'ala. And so now the people there are actually in a legitimate khuruj. They actually have a legitimate khuruj, meaning they have a legitimate reason to go against the ruler, because the kafir ruler cannot be governing the Muslims, cannot be in charge of the Muslims. And so they shouldn't be demonstrating or you know, having a peaceful demonstration. They should be out there with the weapon trying to take this, you know, loser, you know, take him down and terminate him. Yeah. Well, maybe they're not going to call it jihad. It's just going against the rule. This is a legitimate khuruj, because he has kufr bawah. And Prophet ﷺ told them, do not go against the ruler unless you see kufr bawah. And we can see the kufr bawah in this man. So going against him becomes an obligation, because he cannot be in charge of the Muslims. Meaning blatant disbelief. You must have missed the lecture. Plots and reactions. Do listen to it, inshallah. As for other countries where the person in charge is a Muslim, and we don't have anything that proves he's a kafir, and you cannot speculate on these things, then all of these actions of the Muslims are unacceptable. All these demonstrations, protests, riots, revolution, unacceptable. Unacceptable, they're not part of the deen. But fighting against them with weapons, that means women stay at home, children stay at home. Not that they go out there and scream in the street. That is not allowed in Islam. But for, you know, the other one, that's fine. That's an exception to the rule. Anyways, now, Al-Amr al-Thamin, the eighth matter, which will be on the day of resurrection. هو ما ذكره المؤلف رحمه الله وفي عرصات القيامة الحوض المورود للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. On the day of resurrection will be the حوض, lake, fount. I don't know, you know, different translations. Usually in some of the books they keep the term حوض, because you will get the description of it, then you can give it your own name. You can give it your own proper noun or common noun. على كل حال, the حوض, which will be مورود, which the people will attend and go to, of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. العرصات جمع عرصة, we said, أو عرصة. عرصات is the plural of عرصة, and we said وهي المكان المتسع بين البنيان. It is a vast space between constructions. It's a vast space between constructions. والمراد به هنا مواقف القيامة. What is intended here is the various planes of the day of resurrection, where people will be standing. والحوض في الأصل مجمع الماء. The hawd linguistically is a place where water is gathered. The place where water is gathered. والمراد به هنا حوض النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. What is intended, however, here now Islamically is the hawd of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. والكلام على الحوض من عدة وجوه. Now we will approach this hawd from a number of angles. أولا, هذا الحوض موجود الآن. First, this hawd exists now. It exists now. لأنه ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه خطب ذات يوم في أصحابه رضي الله عنهم وقال وإني والله لا أنظر إلى حوض الآن. Because it has been confirmed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a khutbah one day and addressed the Sahaba and he said to them, and I am by Allah looking at my hawd now. I can see it now. Allah made him subhanahu wa ta'ala see it. وأيضا ثبت عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال ومنبري على حوضي. It has also been confirmed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my minbar, the pulpit is on the hawd. Is on the hawd. وهذا يحتمل أنه في هذا المكان لكن لا نشاهده. And it is possible that it is in that location, but we don't see it لأنه غيبي, because it's from the unseen. ويحتمل أن المنبر يوضع يوم القيامة على الحوض. Or it is possible the interpretation that the minbar will be placed on that day on the hawd. والله أعلم. Either it is there now, we just don't see it because it's from the unseen. The same way you don't see the punishment of the grave. Or that his minbar will be placed on the hawd on the day of resurrection. Allahu a'lam. Thaniyan, the second matter concerning it. هذا الحوض يصب فيه ميزابان من الكوثر. This hawd will have two spouts from al-kawthar ending in it. They will sprout from the kawthar and will end in al-hawd. So they have an extension from Al-Kawthar. And you know where the Kawthar is. Inna a'tainaka al-tayyib. Wa huwa an-nahr al-'azim. And it is the great river. Alladhi u'tiyahu an-nabiy alayhi salatu wasalam fi al-jannah. Which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was given in Jannah. Yanzilani ila hadha al-house. So these two spouts will go down into that lake. Thalithan, thirdly, zaman al-hawd قبل العبور على الصراط لأن المقام يقتضي ذلك. The time where the people will attend to this hawd will be before they go over the sirat. Before they go over the sirat. Because the situation necessitates that. حيث إن الناس في حاجة إلى الشرب في عرصات القيامة قبل عبور الصراط. Because people will be thirsty and need to drink something during the accountability before they actually go over the sirat. Because afterwards, if you go over the sirat, you go into Jannah and you're not going to be thirsty anymore. So the thirst will occur early and they will need something to quench their thirst. رابعا يرد هذا الحوض المؤمنون بالله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم المتبعون لشريعته. Those who will go to this hawd will be the believers in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who follow the Sharia. وَأَمَّا مَنْ اسْتَنْكَفَ وَاسْتَكْبَرَ عَنْ اتِّبَاعِ الشَّرِيعَ فَإِنَّهُ يُطْرَدُ مِنْهُ. As for the one who is arrogant and he disdains from following the Sharia, he will be kicked away. He will be kicked away. And we mentioned in other lectures the hadith that the reason why they will be kicked away is because they are mubtadi'a, the people of innovation. The malaika will say to him, إِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي مَا أَحْدَثُوا بَعْدَكَ. You don't know what they introduced into this deen after you. So he will say عليه الصلاة والسلام, سُحْقًا سُحْقًا, may they be destroyed, may they be destroyed. For who? The people of innovation. Those who go against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you could, we can have a huge list of the people of innovation today. Because anyone who's not upon the Quran and the Sunnah, according to the understanding of our righteous predecessors, is from the people of innovations. And this book actually speaks and elaborates on who they are, the ones at least who deviated and innovated in the belief system. The Asha'ira, the Mu'tazila, the Kharijiyya, the Khawarij, the Murji'a, Al-Qadariya, Al-Jabariya, Al-Shi'a, all these. All of these are from the people of the nation. Sufis, sure enough. And then, you know, we can have a lot more enumerated, but this is not the time to do so. خامساً, في كيفية مائه. Fifthly, the nature of its water. فيقول المؤلف رحمه الله, ماؤه أشد بياضاً من اللبني. The water is whiter than milk. Then milk, because back then Lebanon was milk. Today Laban is Laban and milk is Halib, right? So, but back then they had a different approach to this concept. So make sure you don't get confused. You think they were having Laban, you know, Zabadi back over there. No, they were not doing that. طيب هذا في اللون. This is the color. It will be super white. Super white. أما في الطعم, as for the taste, فقال وأحلى من ال, what is known to be very sweet?
Honey.
Honey. Not someone's honey. Just in case somebody was thinking of his wife back home. Yeah, that may be sweet. But we're saying sweet for you, of course. Sweet, sweeter than honey. And some honey is so sweet you can't even have more than 2 spoons. So subhanAllah, it's yani, a powerful sweetness. So it's whiter than milk, sweeter than honey. MashaAllah. وفي الرائحة أطيب من ريح المسك. And the taste, I mean the smell, the odor will be better than musk. Better than musk. كما ثبت به الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, as it has been affirmed in the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is the description of الحوض of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. سادسا في آنيتي. Sixthly, concerning the آنية. يقول المؤلف رحمه الله آنيته عدد نجوم السماء. وعليكم السلام. The vessels are as numerous as the stars in the heaven. The vessels are as numerous as the stars in the heaven. هكذا كما ورد في بعض ألفاظ الحديث, as it has come in some of the wording of the hadith. وفي بعضها آنيتي كنجوم السماء. وهذا اللفظ أجمل. Some of the narrations, it says its vessels are like the stars of the heaven. So one says as numerous as, and some of them say the vessel is like a star. Subhanallah. It said this term is more encompassing, the Shaykh said. لأنه يكون كالنجوم في العدد وفي الوصف بالنور واللمعان. It will be like the stars in number and in the features or description in terms of the light and the brightness. Just like a star. And by the way, I mean, when you see the star now, it's quite far. So it may look somewhat dim because of the huge distance and what have you. But the star in and of itself, you know, it's a huge, you know, creation. And the light over there is stronger than what we see over here. We have a lot of layers which separates us from it. Similarly, if you were to go to the sun and stand in front of it, it's not like standing all the way over here. And sunglasses are not going to help you if you get that close. فآنيته كنجوم السماء كثرة وإضاءة. So then it would be as abundant, then the vessels will be as many, as numerous as the stars in the heaven, and will also be illuminating in the same fashion. Can we afford 5 more minutes? We will try. سابعا آثار هذا الحوض. What are the effects of this حوض? قال المؤلف رحمه الله. The author said, من يشرب شربة لا يظمأ بعدها أبدا. Whosoever drinks one sip shall never be thirsty ever again. Thirst will be permanently terminated, or will be put to an end at the time you drink once. حتى على الصراط وبعده. Even while on the sirat and afterwards. And all thirst will go away. And because remember, this is before the people go through the accountability in the ultimate sense. And before they go over the sirat, which may mean that there are other times where thirst will be a factor. Once you drink from that, you will never be thirsty again. From that moment until the end of the accountability and when people go to Jannah or Jahannam, wal'ayadu billah. وهذه من حكمة الله عز وجل. This is from the wisdom of Allah عز وجل. لأن الذي يشرب من الشريعة في الدنيا لا يخسر أبدا كذلك. Because whosoever drinks from the law today will never lose in the hereafter. Yeah, in the same way you drink from the law now, you will be allowed to drink for following the Prophet ﷺ from the vessels and or from his hand, عليه الصلاة والسلام, so you never be thirsty again. So هل جزاء الإحسان إلا الإحسان جزاء وفاقة. This is what you did good. You followed the Sharia. You followed the Sunnah. You will get in return that you will be given that sip from the Sunnah. You go against the Sunnah, for whatever reason, then we are deprived. Postpone it till the, Allah يرضى عليك, till the end. Jazakallah khair. ثامنا مساحة هذا الحوض. Eighthly, the space or the vastness or the, you know, of this حوض. يقول مالك رحمه الله طوله شهر وعرضه شهر. Its length is 1 month, meaning in journey, the journey of 1 month, and its width is 1 month in journey. That's a long time. If you were to get on a camel now or a horse and go on a journey for 1 month, you will get far. You will get very far. That's as wide as and the length and the width. هذا إذا يقتضي أن يكون مدورا. هذا إذا, he said, this necessitates, هذا إذا يقتضي أن يكون مدورا. This necessitates that it is circular. It's like, you know, it's round. It must be round. لأنه لا يكون بهذه المساحة من كل جانب. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in this space from every angle. You see what I'm saying? Unless it was round. عجيب. إلا إذا كان مدورا. Unless it is round. Unless it is round. وهذه المسافة باعتبار ما هو معلوم في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من سير الإبل المعتاد. Now this is, we have to understand it in reference to what the camels or what a journey would be on a camel during their time. Because someone will say, well, I have a Ferrari, and, you know, going, you know, 180 kilometers per hour, I can get in 1 month to, you know, the other side of the earth. We say, no, that's not what we're looking. We, you know, what a camel would take to get on, you know, for 1 month on a journey, that's the actual space. تاسعاً يصب في الحوض ميزبان من الكثر الذي أعطاه الله تعالى محمداً صلى الله عليه وسلم. We mentioned that. Ninthly, two spouts will come into the river from the kawthar which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was given. عاشراً, tenthly, هل للأنبياء الآخرين أحواض؟ Will the other prophets have their own house, or is this only for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? فالجواب نعم, yes, they will each have one. جاء في حديث, فإنه جاء في حديث رواه الترمذي, وإن كان في مقال إن لكل نبي حوضا. In a hadith in Tirmidhi, which Shaykh Albani rahimahullah authenticated, every prophet will have his own house. Every prophet will have his own house according to the hadith in Tirmidhi. لكن هذا يؤيده المعنى وهو أن الله عز وجل بحكمته وعدله كما جعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم محمد, النبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم حوضا يريده المؤمنون من أمته, كذلك يجعل لكل نبي حوضا حتى ينتفع المؤمنون بالأنبياء السابقين. لكن الحوض الأعظم هو حوض النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. إذن, this is from the justice and the wisdom of Allah. The same way He gave the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم a حوض which the believers will attend, He will also make one for every prophet, so their followers can benefit from their prophets. However, the greatest one, the greatest haud, the best one, will be the one of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah to make us among his sincere and true followers. Inshallah ta'ala, if we all remain alive and healthy next week, we will be dealing with the sirat. The actual sirat, which is the bridge, which will be placed over Jahannam. And the people will cross, and we will deal with the details concerning that. وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.